welding on the last line of the wide the last line of the narrow lines on memory bays. Okay. We've learned in the Mishnah about that a person needs to have mikra, they need to have a knowledge of Chumash or Tanakh and Mishnah, and they have to have derech eretz, and that'll keep them from doing averus, whereas if a person doesn't have any of those things, then he's not part of civilized society.
And derech eretz means what?
Derech eretz, we said yesterday, can have two meanings. It means derech eretz as in what we usually think of as derech eretz, good midas with other people, or it can mean derech eretz as in having a job. Similar to what it says in Pirkei Avos, that Talmud Torah with derech eretz is a good thing because between the two of them you're so busy that you don't have time to do averus. Okay. So, talking about the importance of learning, it already happened once that Rav Tarfon and the other elders, the other Tanaim of that generation, were reclining at a meal not necessarily for Pesach, they used to recline all year round then, on the second floor of the house of Nitzer was the guy's name, in Lud. So this Nitzer was Machnas Arach. He had all of the Chachamim as his guests there at his banquet, and they're sitting and talking. So this question was asked before then. Talmud Gadol Eimayis. That's not that bad. I don't know. Let people be able to come in. Talmud Gadol Eimayis Gadol. What's bigger? What's more important? Learning Torah or doing mitzvahs? Well, Nenner of Tarfon Vomim. Nenner of Tarfon Vomim Maisa Gadol. Rav Tarfon started by speaking up and said, Maisa is the greater thing. Because the whole purpose of learning is to do mitzvahs. Then Rabbi Akiva Lamo Talmud Gadol. Then Rabbi Akiva spoke up and said, "No, learning is greater." The Mefarshim talk about, I think the Maharal talks about, but one way of looking at it is you can look at it like this. If the Gemara is going to say now, Nenu Kulam Ba'amru, everybody spoke up and said, "Talmud Gadol Shah, Talmud Mevi L'Demaisa." Talmud, learning is a great thing because learning brings to doing. Which means, in other words, if you do both, if you learn and you do mitzvahs, then you've accomplished both. Whereas if you only do mitzvahs without learning, then you have the schar of mitzvahs, but you don't have the schar of learning as well.
Are we saying the schar of mitzvahs great mitzvahs?
So that's, we have three different opinions. We have three different possibilities that we do. One is that Torah learning is greater than mitzvahs. The other is that mitzvahs is greater than learning Torah. And then the other way of looking at it is they're both important, but Torah is the prerequisite for mitzvahs.
Learning Torah.
So Tosfos discusses over here a little bit that, among others, the difference may be that there, whether we say Talmud Gadol or Maisa Gadol, by Talmud we don't just mean learning for oneself, we mean learning in order to teach other people. That's even greater than mitzvahs. And just learning for yourself, Maisa is greater. That's what Tosfos says. Also Tosfos says another way of looking at it is
teach is greater than learning.
Than learning just for oneself, then. Similar to what we said yesterday, that a tzaddik was tov lavrius, was good for other people, who does things, who does good things for other people as well. So just teaching them is better than a tzaddik herself. Also, Tosfos says another possibility that you have, let's say a person has never learned yet. So you say, he comes to ask, what should he do first? Should he learn first, or should he involve himself in mitzvahs? Tell him, learn first. Once you learned already, though, then he's better off focusing on mitzvahs because a more important thing. That's another possibility.
Talmud means learning.
Talmud means learning. Yeah.
Learning what?
Learning. Well, Talmud primarily means learning Torah, but specifically, I mean, there's been many different areas of learning Torah. So there's a Talmud that's maybe the day Maisa, as the Gemara is saying over here, that actually leads the person to doing mitzvahs, learning the practical halachas. And then there's Talmud, as in what we learned a week and a half ago, that a person should learn a shlish for mikra, a shlish for mishnah, a shlish for Talmud, that you need to learn, you need to delve in and understand what the principle, where the principles of halachas come from, and so forth.
It is also great, so you say that...
Actually, the Alter Rebbe points out in Hilchos Talmud Torah that Kabbalah is included in the Kabbalah, and by extension Chassidus, is included in Talmud. When we said on Daf Lamed that a person has to spend a third of their time on Talmud, that includes that, yes. Aside from that, it's kind of a prerequisite because of the famous Gemara in Shabbos that says that if a person has Torah without Yiras Shemayim, then it's like storing up wheat without having a preservative in there where it's going to rot. But yes, Chassidus is essential for that as a preservative.
You can have your shemaim from Gemara.
No, but it's a little harder to, in a way. It's easier to learn your shemaim from Sfarim that are designed for that purpose. Chassidus, Musar, that sort of thing. Anyway, this is what we're saying. Tyler can also know that the point of learning this is your mitzvah. So one way of looking at it is, do you look at it as you have a means and you have an end? So the end obviously is more important than the means. In that case, you would say mitzvahs are more important. On the other hand, if you look at it as like a parent and child, if you look at it, learning Torah is the father of doing mitzvahs, well, then the father ranks higher than the child. So that's one perspective on it. In Chassidus, all over the place, it talks about the idea. There's a mimer. Each one has its own mimer. There's a mimer in the Kodesh Torah that discusses the idea that Talmud has its advantage because it's Chochmos Ritzon Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu. On the other hand, mitzvahs are higher because they come from Ratzon HaElyon, which is even higher than Chochma. La'asid Lavri will see the advantage of Maaseh over now in our world. As the Gemara is saying over here, Talmud is Gadol, but the La'asid Lavri will have Maaseh will be Gadol.
Talmud brings leaders to
the Maaseh. That's what we're saying, yeah.
So Maaseh seems to be the objective.
But that's what we're saying. But on the other hand, Rabbi Akiva, who says Talmud Gadol, is taking the view that on the other hand, since Talmud leads to Maaseh, then Talmud must be more important to the fact that it's able to have such an outgrowth, like a father to a child. Indeed. Yeah. And actually, we'll talk about that a little bit.
Be very careful about this.
We'll actually talk about that a little bit in the new paragraph. So wait. Tanya, Rabbi Yossi Omer, Gadol Talmud, learning is a great thing. We see that the Eibishter taught the Jewish people, and they were learning mitzvahs many, many years before they had to do some, before some of them came to Maaseh. They started learning about the Dinim of Challah 40 years before it actually came into effect. Because Challah was given, the mitzvah of Challah, like all the mitzvahs, was given to them in the desert. It only came into effect, as we learned the other day, immediately when they came into Eretz Yisrael. From when they started learning about Truma and Maaseh until they actually started doing it in practice was 54 years. The same 40 years, plus an extra 14 years for Kibbush V'Chiluv. Plus an extra 14 years for the conquest and division of Eretz Yisrael, as we talked about the other day. They had another 61. They were 61 years from when they learned the dinim of Shemitah by the Eibishter gave them by Har Sinai until they actually did it. They had another 7. They started counting the Shemitah cycles after the 14 years of Kibbush V'Chiluv, and then the first Shemitah was 7 years after that. The point is that look how important learning is. That the Eibishter, for example, gave them the mitzvahs of Shemitah, and they're learning it for 61 years before they're ever being Mekayim.
The reason they were learning it so they would know what to do. Hey,
no, but now, but does it have to be decades?
Yeah, 60 years.
So to be doing it for 6 years before. Mela, of course, you have to teach them before you have to do the mitzvah. But
that's the only time they were learning.
No, but that's the point. We see that the Eibishter didn't wait to give these mitzvahs until shortly before.
Is it incidental?
6 years?
Or the Eibishter really wanted it?
No, I mean, The original plan was that they weren't going to spend 40 years in the desert, right? I mean, if they hadn't been to the Chetam Adaglim, for example, yeah, they would have been much shorter from learning these dinim.
It's not the intent of the
Eibishter to have an office. No, but actually with Challah, for example, the mitzvah of Challah, they were only given after the Chetam Adaglim. So that, at least, yes, the intention at the time was that it's going to be 40 years before it's actually accomplished. Okay, but it still gives you an idea, though. And Yovel, they were learning the dinim of 103 years before it actually came into effect. Because Yovel was the 50th year. Yovel was, well, calculated like this, 40 years in the desert, 14 years of Kibbush V'Chiluv, that's 64 so far, and then 50 years to Yovel. So that's 104, which brings the Gemara's question, Me'ev HaShalosh, Me'ev HaAba, I mean, that's 104 years. The answer is, Kastava, Yovel Metzilosehu Meshamet. Yes, but Yossi is taking the view that Yovel, already at the beginning of the year, already Yom Kippur, the Avodim go home and the fields go back to their owners. So 103 years and a few days have passed. That's what he means, not 104 full years. As opposed to with Shemitah, for example, yeah, the dinim of Shemitah, of Shemitah's Karka, applies at the beginning, but Shemitah's Ksafim we know applies only at the end. So that's how we got 61. And continues the Gemara, Shem Shal Limud Kodim L'Maisa, just as we said before, that learning has to come ahead of doing, because it's Talmud Gadol Shal Mevi L'Dei Maisa, and again, we're saying with these various mitzvahs that they were learning them decades before they ever did them. Kach Dinei Kodim L'Maisa, so also when a person is judged by the Beis Din Shal Maila, they're judged first about Torah and then about mitzvahs. Kidir Rav Hamnuna, like we find Rav Hamnuna says, the Amr Rav Hamnuna, ain't chivas. Din shalom ela divrei Torah. A person is first judged by the Beis Din Shamayla only about divrei Torah. Shenema, the pasuk says poiter mayim. The simple meaning of poiter mayim reishis modim. The simple meaning of it is like start like by the beginning of a fight is like when you open up a faucet of water, and like a little trickle of water, but it becomes more and more until it creates a flood. And the same thing, like a fight, an argument can begin as a small thing and then it becomes bigger and bigger. Here the Gemara is dashing it differently. Poiter mayim, if a person patters himself from Torah, ein mayim ala Torah, reishis modim, that is the beginning of the judgment, modim l'loshen din. It means that if a person patterns himself, thinks I don't have to learn Torah, when it comes to the din after 120, that's the first thing he's judged about. Tosfos points that out. Gemara and Shabbos says the first thing they ask him is nasata v'nasata be'emuna. So Tosfos says yes. As far as the questions, they start with first, were you honest in business? But as far as the punishment, not the fact that he didn't set aside time for learning comes first. There's a lot of other interesting ideas that Mephoshim give about how to reconcile this with the Gemara and Shabbos. One interesting one is based on a story in Tanit Ve'Eliyahu. In Tanit Ve'Eliyahu, it tells a story that Eliyahu Hanavi once met a guy, a Poshut Yid, and asked him, what's doing as far as learning Torah. And the guy says, I don't have the head for it. Eliyahu asks him, what do you do for a living? The guy describes, I'm a fisherman, I make my nets, I set out my traps in the best possible places. He's going on and on describing all the details of how he runs his business. Eliyahu says, you have the head for that, you don't have the head for learning Torah. And the guy has to admit that fact that he's wrong on that. So therefore, the idea is, a person is asked nasasa v'nasasa b'emunah. A person is first asked, were you honest in business? But that's not really in order to judge him on that first. That's to establish, does he have a head for business? If he does, then the next thing is, if you had a head for business, why don't you have a head for Torah? That's one explanation. Then they can't fault him for it as much. Yeah.
I'll tell you one other thing,
and then we'll go on. One other vote on it is they do first ask him the source of an asata b'emuna, because if he answers yes, then he has an excuse. Okay, I had to work for a living. I didn't have very much time to learn. Mashenkin, if you didn't do business honestly, well then you didn't have to spend so much time on it. You didn't have to participate in your business. No, at least you should have learned. That's another explanation. Ken Ganvinin, but at least if he did business honestly, then he sort of has an excuse that he wasn't prepared to Matoto. If he was a Ganav, then he has less of an excuse. Yeah. Okay. Just as when the Eibishter judges a person, we said that the judgment for Torah or the punishment for Torah, according to Tosfos, comes before Maisa. So also when the Eibishter gives schar, the schar for learning Torah comes ahead of the schar for doing mitzvah. As the pasuk says, the Eibishter gave the Jewish people the lands of nations, and they inherited the hard work that had been the riches that had been stored up by people. In order that they should keep his chukim, which we said the other day, tishmurum zu mishnah, that keeping means learning mishnah. And his Torah they keep, meaning that they actually fulfill the mitzvah. Then the Mishnah had said, Kol she'ena lo b'mikra v'lo b'mishnah, that anybody who does not have mikra or mishnah or derech eretz is eni min ha'yishuv, he's not part of civilized society. Amar Rav Yochanan u'posel le'edus, and that actually means he's posel le'edus, because Rashi says since he's not part of civilized society, he has no bushes punin, he won't be embarrassed to lie in front of Beis Din, so therefore he can't accept his edus.
Mikra means
chumash, and more generally tanach, yeah. Another din in that connection about somebody who's not mina yishuv and is posulated. Tanarabon, a famous thing, ha'oichel b'shuk. If somebody eats in the street, how do the doimel keller, that he's like a dog. V'yashayim posel la'edus, and yashayim that he is posel l'stol on memum beis at the bottom. V'yashayim posel la'edus, and some say that he is also posel la'edus. And omra v'yibavon halacha ki yashayim. The halacha is actually like those yashayim. Now, again, what's the problem with eating in public? So Rashi says again, the problem is that he has no boishes upon him. Again, he has no embarrassment in front of people. Tosfos brings, on the other hand, from a Yerushalmi, that it's only a Talmid Chacham shouldn't be eating in the shul, implying for a regular person it's not a problem. What are we saying over here? Even for a regular person, it's bad and it's posel la'edus. But that's, if we're saying posel la'edus, that means it's a lot more than saying that's
not. Anyway.
Yeah, a Talmid Chacham is supposed to keep himself to a higher standard, but implying from the Yerushalmi it sounds like for a regular person it's not a problem.
Does that mean it's posel la'edus?
Okay, so Tosfos gives a couple of answers. One is from Rabbeinu Hananel, that what we're talking about over here, we don't just mean that he's eating a sandwich as he's walking down the street. We mean he grabs food from other people and eats it as he's going. So then I his neighbor, I his goblin. Tosfos says, let's say it was less than a shavu proto, or something that somebody's not masking on. But nevertheless, he's not a goblin, but nevertheless he is nevertheless doing the kelavin. And then Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Eliyahu another explanation, that you have sometimes, you know how stores a lot of times give out samples, free samples. So a guy goes to one store and asks for a free sample, as if he's going to buy, and then he leaves the store, goes to another store, repeats the process, and therefore, the Doimel Akelef is like a dog who, you know, grabs food wherever it can find it.
Similar to that, one question. People in a supermarket, they eat the food. Before they pay for it, they take a drink, open it, drink.
Okay, I mean, if you're paying for it, if it's a package anyway, that you're paying, you know, like a can of soda or something, you're going to be paying for it regardless. I don't know necessarily. It may not be the best thing to do. I don't know that technically it would be. I don't know that technically it would be a problem. But I don't know.
Drink, douche, this.
That's also true. But fine, but even if you're talking about food packages, yeah. I mean, if you're paying for it afterwards, yeah. No, if you're talking about something that's sold by waste, like if, you know, you buy fruit and you eat from it, obviously then you're stealing, because yeah. Then Tosfos brings one more answer, that this Ochel B'Shuk person is over here. He actually eats a meal with bread. We're not just talking, in other words, for example, a person is walking down the street eating a carrot, let's say. Or sucking on a lollipop. We're talking about he's taking bread and eating it as he's walking down the street. Maybe, I don't know what Tosfos doesn't say, but pass, meaning bread. That's a bigger gnai.
Doesn't mean like an apple.
Okay. One, as far as why we say Haredes a Dome of the Keller, besides for Tosfos' explanation about getting a little bit from each store, there's a vort also. The Gemara mentions in Cholim that if a person leaves crumbs behind after they eat, it's a skula to become poor. Now, if a person is eating, walking down the street, he's not a skula, an anti-skula, whatever you want to call it. There's a Gemara in Sochem that mentions that the shed, who's in charge of poverty, likes filthy places, where the shed in charge of riches likes clean places. So therefore, if you leave crumbs, then you're it's a dirty place. Anyway, the point is,
get rid of the place.
The point is, therefore, person. The point
why,
is.
So why do we say that we have to build a before you please the chumash? I'm not talking about chumash. Why do you have?
Kol shein mashaya pasal shochonah. You're supposed to leave some bread over on the table that the bracha should be chal on it or whatever. Yeah, but we're talking about crumbs on the floor. Yeah. Actually, the Gemara in Cholin over there tells a story about somebody who was once having a picnic on the grass, and the shed figured, okay, I got him now. He's for sure going to leave crumbs. At the end, the guy goes and picks out all the crumbs, and then the shed is very upset. Hello? You know, the shed is very upset that the guy bested him. Anyway, the point is, returning to this, a person is eating, walking down the street. Necessarily, he's going to leave crumbs. It's going to be kashal on you. So therefore, he's going to be like a dog, which the Gemara mentions is a very poor creature. What about it? I mean, you. Okay, you whatever you can, you clean it up afterwards. Yeah. Next. Dorosh Akapara. Ragzon, a person who gets angry a lot. Loy also biyada ela ragzon rukta. All that he gets in his hand, all that he accomplishes for his tzar, is just his ragzon, it's just his anger. Meaning that Rashi says, like all he does is like he loses weight, like he burns up his body with his anger. He didn't really gain anything. There's a lot of different explanations among well, maybe, but it's good for a diet. I don't know. There's actually a lot of different explanations what this ragzon, like also the other ragzonusa means. One of them is a person who is constantly getting angry is has a chazaka of being a rasha, kolakoyes kilo or whatever, zara, etc. So therefore, like he doesn't gain anything from it.
Is it when he's angry often or anytime?
Often we're saying, yeah. There's another explanation. Among the many other explanations is that we're talking about a person who's constantly complaining about the things that happened to him. Some of them are the yisurim that the Eibush is bringing on him to, which are supposed to clean up his avedus, like we said the other day. If all he does is get angry at them all the time, then he loses that. Then he loses that ability. Yeah. A good person, a person who does mitzvahs, is given a taste of the fruit of his deeds. Again, because there are certain mitzvahs that are Torah saying by Olam Hazeh, so he gets a taste of it in Olam Hazeh. And another thing he says, anybody who does not have mikra or mishnah or derech eretz, like we said in the mishnah, dur hanah mimenu, make a neder, dur is meloshon neder, make a neder not to have hanah from him. The pasuk says, "Moshev leitzim layashav," that a tzaddik doesn't sit in the company of leitzim, meaning Moshev leitzim. Such a person, he doesn't have mikri, he doesn't have mishnah, he doesn't have derech eretz. What is he occupying himself with? With lepsumis, with empty-headedness. So therefore, don't stay in his company, and even make a neder to stay away from his company. If it can help him to become oisles, fine, but don't say. Dur hanah mimenu. You shouldn't have hanah from him. You can give him hanah, though.
You could say,
don't say, give him. Yeah. Okay. Hadron Now, getting back to, in this parak, we'll get back to the actual topic of our Masechta, which is Kiddushin, although we'll still have a lot of digressions on important topics in our parak. So the parak begins. Ha'ish mekadesh boi v'shloch. A man can be mekadesh a woman directly, personally, or through a shliach. And a woman, similarly, can receive kiddushin personally, or she can send a shliach to receive the kiddushin. Whether, by the way, either one of them needs edim when they appoint their shliach as a machlokas rishonim. The Rambam says no, the Ravid says yes. The Rambam says, I think, that the husband doesn't need shluchim, doesn't need edim for his shliach, but the wife does. The Ravid says both of them do, and the Rosh says neither of them do. Anyway,
yeah,
I don't know. Usually when you have a machlokas rishonim like that, there's not necessarily a defined decision in Shulchan Aruch about it, because who's going to be machriya between them. In practice, it means if there were shluchim set up without any edim, you have to be choshish. It's suffered kedushin. Maybe not. I don't know. Okay, anyway. Ha'ish mekadesh es bitik, she naira boi v'shluchai. And a man can be mekadesh his daughter when she's a naira. Also, he can do it directly, or he can have a shliach do it. If you're saying a person can be mekadesh through a shliach, of course he can do it personally. What's the point of mentioning the word boy? Just say ha'ish mekadesh v'shluchai, and you'll understand. Obviously, he can do it personally. What the Mishnah means is mitzvah boi yoisim v'shluchai. There's more of a mitzvah when he does it personally than when his shliach does it. Rashi says because he gets the biggest tzar. The Rambam seems to say, and other achronim spell out in more detail, that's because the mitzvah is accomplished better when you do it yourself. Also, it's the idea when you do it yourself rather than delegating it, it shows you have covered for the mitzvah. What about him? That's the next thing the Gemara is going to say, that you shouldn't be mekadesh a woman without seeing her anyway.
What about her feelings? If you're sending a slave to be mekadesh her as opposed to be going yourself?
Okay, but if you're not able to, yeah. But it's still the mitzvah, either the mitzvah of piri v'rivya or the mitzvah of marriage itself, issues is a mitzvah. Either way, yeah. Kihad Rav Safra Machrut Reisha, as we find the example that Rav Safra used to personally singe the head of an animal to burn off the hair, to prepare it for cooking for Shabbos. And Rava, Malach Shibota, and similarly, Rava used to personally salt the fish for Shabbos. These are things they could have delegated, but mitzvah bo yosim v'shlechai. Therefore, they did it themselves. Actually, you know, Rav David, you were mentioning before if you have a mitzvah that can be done by other people, doesn't Talmud Torah override it? Rav Safra and Rava are both busy learning Torah. How you talk and they take off time for salting fish. And, so they have their shamash do it. So the Alter Rebbe brings on this in Shulchan Aruch and Kuntres Acharon. You see from this that preparing for Shabbos is a mitzvah that applies to you personally. Therefore, it's not something that really can that can be done al yachirim.
Why not for Yom Tov then?
Yom Tov is an extension of Shabbos for that regard. Yeah.
Who did?
Yeah. Okay. Ikadamri. Another version is, actually, Baha'i Surinami Yisba. Actually, no, it's not just a matter of that it's a better mitzvah to do it yourself than through a shliach. There's actually an issue involved in sending a shliach to be Mekadosh a woman. A man is not allowed to be Mekadosh a woman until he sees her. Because he may see something unattractive in her, but it's gone all of and then she'll be unattractive to him, and they won't get along. The Torah says you have to have Avas Yisrael, so you can't do things in a way that you're going to end up that there may be friction between husband and wife. But we're assuming you're sending us that could be possible, but.
That he knows who she is and everything. It's just that for some reason he can't go himself.
Such a thing is certainly conceivable. But the Gemara is assuming over here that not. The Gemara is assuming if you're sending a shliach. Well, you have to realize, especially because the Mishnah started off with Ish Mekadesh Bo V'Shlucha, and the Ish Mekadesh Bo V'Shlucha doesn't mean necessarily that you're sending the shliach to be Mekadesh Ploinis Bas Ploini. It can even mean you're just sending her, be Mekadesh, whatever woman you see fit, be Mekadesh for me. I'll verify like whatever I'm sending Eliezer. As long as it's a woman from my family, go be Mekadesh her. Which, by the way, brings to the discussion to how does Avraham sending Eliezer to be Mekadesh a wife to Yitzchak? Without seeing. So among the various answers, well, first of all, there was no choice over there. Yitzchak couldn't leave Eretz Yisrael. But aside from that, also, there's various other reasons as well. One of them being, what are we saying over here? He may see in her a dover maguna. He may see something unattractive, and she won't be attractive to him. In this case, Avraham knew Beruach HaKodesh right away after the Akedah. He was told that Yitzchak's Bach Zug has been born. So therefore, there's no reason to worry about that something's going to go wrong. He has a promise from the Eibishter that everything is going to be good.
Wasn't last week,
Yitzchak says he was an oil shmita, because he was almost brought to the carbon, and therefore he was considered like the din of a carbon. He wasn't allowed to be taken out of a holy place. That's throughout Yitzchak's life. We find he's the only one of the others who never left Eretz Yisrael.
Because of that.
Okay. So therefore, b'chi itma, the Rabbi Yosef has sefer itma. Therefore, according to that, we would have to say that what Rabbi Yosef is saying about mitzvah bo Yosef b'shlucho does not apply to the Reisha, because in the Reisha we're saying there might even be an Isser involved of being Mekadesh by proxy, but rather the sefer. Namely, when it says Isha Mekadesh is bo v'shlucho, that a woman can mean a Skadesh directly or through a shliach. Again, you can ask the question, Hashta. Hashta b'shlucha milkadsha b'mibo. Again, you can ask the question. If Ha'isha miskadesh is bo v'shlucha, obviously, if she can be miskadesh through a shliach, she can be miskadesh personally. What's the chiddush? And again, you would say, Amr Rabbi Yosef mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucha. Here's where Rabbi Yosef would say that's more of a mitzvah if she does it personally and through a shliach. Ki hadin of safra machruf reisha rava malach shibotah. However, there's no Isser involved in a woman sending a shliach to receive kiddushin, even though Kiddush Shlokish says, it's a popular expression that the Gemara has mentioned in other places, that it's better to live as two bodies. A woman would rather be married, as would rather have two bodies, would rather be married to a husband and have another body with her, milamesef armalu, than to live as an almana, alone. So therefore, in other words, like for her, it's less of an issue if it turns out that the guy is not so attractive. The point is, therefore, what did we say before? There's an issue for a man to send a shliach because he may find a divai gnai in her. She's not going to have as much of a problem. There's much less likely that there's going to be a divai gnai that she's going to say, I can't live with him. Because women, we're saying over here, are less picky about it. Yeah, that's what we're talking about. Now, Rashi asks the question, okay, I mean, but still, if she sends a shliach, still he's not seeing her before he's being Mekadesh her, so isn't she causing him to be over on Nisr?
Right.
Rashi says, yes, Eino Chanami, that is true. However, the Mishnah is focusing on her side of things. When it comes to her end of the mitzvah, she can accomplish it equally well through a shliach than personally. The issue doesn't apply to her. The issue applies. So it makes more sense, in other words, to say that Rabbi Yosef's statement, according to the second way, would go on the sefer, because in the Reishi you can't just say mitzvah bo yosef b'shlucha, because there's an issue. Whereas in the sefer, but the issue is on him. When the Mishnah says mitzvah bo yosef, when the Mishnah says ha'isha miskadesh is bo b'shlucha, then we're focusing on her side of things, and from her side of things, there's no issue in it.
And therefore we'd say
that it refers to the sefer. Now, let's ask a general question. Shlichus minolon. Where do we know the concept that you can send a shliach to be Mekadesh? The answer is the Tanya. We learn in a Braita. Now, you have, in connection with Gittin, first we're going to talk about Gittin, about Gerushin, then we're going to go back to Kiddushin. Now, the Pasuk says by Gittin, by Gerushin, you're right, I'm sorry. Ha'ish Makadosh is Gittin Kshina, yeah, you're right, sorry. Two dots to the next one. Okay. Ha'ish Makadosh is Vidik Shi Naira. The Mishnah said that a man can Makadosh his daughter to somebody else when she's a Naira, implying Shi Naira ain't Shi Tana Lo, implying only when she's a Naira, not when she's a Tana. Therefore, Messiah Leila Rav. Therefore, we see that our Mishnah supports what Rav says. Dramar of Yehuda Amar Rav, Vitamir of Lazar, or other set of Lazar said this. Also, Lo Adam Shi Kadosh is Vidik Shi Tana. A man is not allowed to Makadosh his daughter when she's a Tana. Until she grows up and is able to say, but Pliny Ani Roisa, I want to marry Pliny. So until she has consent. What about Tavla Mesa Pandu? What about we just said women aren't as picky? A lot of different explanations, one of them being one very straightforward one being for a woman who's being Niskadish with her own Rotsin, sure, Tavla Mesa Pandu. Like this, when she's not even being Niskadish where she doesn't even have any bass yet. Then we don't say that. Then there's more reason to be concerned that she may not like him and say there'll be friction. Also, a Tana is more easily convinced by the people around her. A Gdola, even if they tell her he's a no good nick, she may ignore them. Whereas Tana is more likely to anyway. He could be la halacha. We're saying it's also for him too. It's not.
It's
mutter, in other words, in the sense technically it's allowed. However, also in the sense that it's the wrong thing to do. It's not strictly speaking also if a person is accepts kedushin on behalf of his daughter, the kedushin of hell. The Rambam doesn't use the expression also. The Rambam uses the expression that roi lo adam, that it's something like that. It's roi. What? So we're saying also, but we don't mean... What? Actually, Tosfos points out, when you get down to it, in their times, I mean, it was very common until as recently as 100 years ago, it was very common to be Makadosh daughters, to be Makadosh girls when they were young. How does that fit with this, with Osu Ladam? Tosfos says, because the Golos is getting worse and worse, a person may now be able to afford a Nadan, and years from now he may not be able to. Then she won't be able to get married at all. So therefore they felt there was no choice. Also, actually, another verse I saw is related to the idea of a Nadan.
How old were they when they were still
sometimes fairly young. Sometimes fairly young. Sometimes below Bat Mitzvah. We're talking Kiddushin.
They weren't 3 years old. I mean,
okay, ain't a Nadan, but still, they weren't necessarily... Fine, but they weren't necessarily able to say the point anyway. Another idea that I saw also related. Yeah, they also did it young. Yeah, yeah. Another explanation that I also saw related to the Nadan idea is in the Gemara's time, it wasn't very common for people to give Nadanim for their daughters anyway. We actually learned back in Ksubas that the Chachamim had to make a special takana in order that a person should be willing to give something for his daughter. In later times, it became more common, so therefore there was less of an issue of doing it when they were of Tana.
Because what we learned from Lavan, it should be the other way around.
That what? With Rachel and Leah? I mean, it doesn't...
Yeah, because
we don't know
how
old...
He wanted to be paid.
Fine, okay. Okay.
That's the other way around.
Yeah, okay, but, you know. Okay.
It gets to be the other
okay.
way around.
I don't know. Okay. Next. who gets more, I guess you could think of it. Yeah, okay. Okay, now. Shlichus Menolam. So where do we know this whole concept of shlichus when it comes to Kedushin and more generally in Halacha? The Tanya. Now, we learn in a Braisa. The Pasuk says, in connection with Gedushin, the expression is the cost of a safer Christmas, for nothing the other, the Shilcha Mibesa, and he sends her out of his house. Two Pasukim later, it again says, the Shilcha Mibesa, that she remarries and the other guy maybe divorces her also. So, the Shilach, now the Pasuk could have said, the Shilach Mibesa. So, there's a number of different things that we're learning from the words. It could have said, Rashi is learning that you have the basic word, the Shilach. You have that it says v'shilcha with a hey, and then there's the fact that it's a mafik hey. Mafik that there's a dot in the hey. So v'shilach malamatru oitz shliach. The word v'shilach comes to teach us that the husband is able to appoint a shliach for gerushin. V'shilcha malamatru oitz shliach. When it says v'shilcha, where there's a hey at the end, a hey without a mafik in it makes it a feminine form verb. So b'shilach means he sends. B'shilcha, without a mafakeh, means she sends. Therefore, we can darshan it as if it was without the mafakeh, and therefore that means she sends. And because b'shilcha with a mafakeh would mean he sends her. Means he sends her out.
Every time it's masculine,
there's the amapic? When the object of the verb is feminine, then there's a mapic. Veshilach, veshulcha, and then you have again, the Torah again uses the word veshulcha, two pesukim later. From that we learn that one shliach is able to appoint another one to act on his behalf. Tosfos discusses a somewhat different way of learning the drashas from these things. Tosfos points out there's another drasha we need from that as well, that a shoyter can't be nisgadish, you know, you have to be mechalcha v'chazeres. Okay. Anyway.
Not necessarily.
What?
Can't be mechadish
either. I don't know. That's true, but we're talking about Bereshit so far, yeah.
Yeah, but there's no point in Gershon if he never married her in the first
place. No, but if he married her when she was a pekachas and then she became a shoita, then he's not able to divorce her. Because she needs to be that mashalcha v'ena chazeres. It needs to be that she knows this is a get and I'm not returning to my husband. Okay, the Gemara says, Ashkhan v'gershin. Fine, okay, so that tells us that a shliach applies by Gershon. V'kedushin v'nolon. Who says the same thing applies to Kedushin? V'chitem v'dialach v'gershin. So you're going to answer very simple. We learn it from Gershon. Problem is, Mala Gerushin, Shekin Yashin and Bal Kocha. The problem is, Gerushin are different. They can be accomplished even against her will. So therefore, maybe you could argue, therefore, maybe the husband has the ability to appoint a shliach. Who says the same is true by Kedushin, where it requires her das? The answer is, Omakru, Yatsa V'Hoysa. No, but the Pasuk says she goes out from her first husband when he divorces her. V'Hoysa, and she marries another man. Famous Hekish, Makish Havaya Litzia, the Hekish that we have throughout Seder Nashim, the Hekish between the kedushin and the divorce. Mayitzia Meshav Shliach. Therefore, just like by the going out, the divorce, he can appoint a Shliach. Ahavaya Nami Meshav Shliach. The same thing by the Havaya.
Anything about the Yitzia is comparable to the.
As much as possible, yes. That's where we learned. That's where we learned at the beginning of the Masechta that you can do kedushin with a shtar. There's a lot of things there. Yes. What about another din that we learn where we see that you can appoint a shliach? Not neither kedushin nor gerushin. If somebody tells a shliach, go give truma from my produce, turdim kedas balabayis, he should give truma according to what he knows the das of the owner is. There's three different standards for giving truma. The average person gives 1/50, 2%. A more generous person gives 1/40, 2.5%. And a more stingy person gives 1/60, 1.7%. That you're not supposed to do less than 1/60. So whatever you know the da'as of the Baal HaBayis to be, if you know him to be a generous person, do 1/40. If you know he's an average person, etc. Then any of their da'as Baal HaBayis, what if he doesn't know what the owner's da'as is? Turn him, b'bein in echad mechamishim, then he should just do 1/50, which is the average. Tichet ha'sora, if he does 10 less, or hoisef ha'sora, he does 10 more. So Rashi says less means he did 1 of 40. 40 is less than 50. Tosfos says the other way around, that tichet means he did less Truma, so it's 1/60, whatever, it amounts to the same thing. Truma, say Truma, his Truma is still valid, because he can say to the Balabas, I thought that you were a generous person, I thought that you were a stingy person. Okay, so where do we know that you can appoint a shliach when it comes to Truma? The chitain of the yalach of Gerushin, you're going to argue that we learn from Gerushin. Yeah, mal Gerushin, shekain yeshin and chol. Gerushin, and also Kedushin for that matter, is a matter of chol. There's no hektish involved. Truma is kind of like hektish. So maybe you could argue, maybe by those things you can appoint the shliach, but truma you can. Yeah, it's a mundane thing. There's no kedusha involved. The answer is no. Omakro, atem gam atem. No, because the Pasuk says by truma, it says atem, that you can give truma, but it doesn't say atem, it says gam atem, also you. Therefore, the rabbi, the shliach, the word also comes to include that you can appoint the shliach. Fine, why do we need it to be say by all three dinim? Let the Torah just tell us by truma that you can appoint the shliach, and you say if you can do that by something which is kodesh, how much more so by the other two? The answer is, yes, but you could slug that up by saying that truma is a special case because you're able to accomplish giving truma even just in thought. For example, a person can have a pile of grain in front of him, a pile of fruit, whatever, he can think in his mind, I'm going to designate this side as truma, that side as maaser, whatever, and then he can eat from it. Whereas you can't do that with kedushin and gedushin, you need an actual action. So therefore, you couldn't have learned the other ones from that also. let's break from Ma'ariv, and tomorrow. I think I just heard somebody say 8:13. I don't know. So let's continue tomorrow. And tomorrow the Gemara is going to bring the Korban Pesach into it, very appropriate, the Man Groma, so we'll deal with it tomorrow. That's the shame. It's in Rinkmeyer, that's the shame. Yeah, 7:30 probably more like,